Well, a little bit later in the month than we normally do, but we welcome our local historian Chris Robinson into the studio. How are you?
Good, thank you, Tim.
Nice to see you. And we're going to talk about modern Plymouth, would you say?
Is that well, what do you know, I read this, yeah. And I read Plymouth is a very modern town. And I thought, yeah, it is. But this was written in 1898.
Oh, goodness me. Right, okay.
So I just thought, wow, how do you come to write that sort of thing? And what does it imply? And actually, what it implies is that there'd been so much building work going on in the 1890s, essentially, that Plymouth was modern then. It had just got the electric tram coming through. Ebrington Street had been widened. They demolished almost half of Ebrington Street, the sort of northern side. Old Town Street done the same thing. They'd demolished the whole of the eastern side of Old Town Street, losing quite a few very ancient buildings, including the old Four Castles and the Rose and Crown pub that went back to Tudor times.
Goodness me, really? So they would have been, what, 400 years old then?
Yeah. So it was a massive transformation then. Bedford Street was massively redeveloped around the same time. The Globe Hotel went. And so we got the original Drake Circus that some Plymouthians will remember with the Guinness clock on it, and the Prudential building as well. And all these buildings were sort of still new when the Blitz happened.
Right.
And I firmly believe that one of the reasons people didn't get too upset was because actually it wasn't that old. When we think about House of Fraser nowadays, the Dingles building, you know, people still think of it as new, fairly.
And yet it's older than the buildings that were knocked down at that time.
Yeah, it's 65 years old this year. And that makes it quite a bit older than some of the buildings that they weren't all lost, because the two examples that I gave there of Drake Circus and the Prudential building both survived the war. But a lot of their neighbours disappeared, and they were all really from a similar time period. Plymouth expanded massively during the 19th century, and so what was there was new to Plymouth. There's a lovely account of Old Town Street being largely thatched properties.
I'd love to see that.
At the beginning of the 19th century. So you just think, wow, so it had changed incredibly. And so if you imagine somebody around, I know it's not as old as it used to be because 70 is the new 50 or whatever, but somebody around their 70s, they would have seen Plymouth completely transformed in their lifetime up until 1941.
Right.
Even the Guildhall was created within their lifetime.
Yeah.
So nothing was that desperately old.
And of course, the time that you're talking about in the late 1890s, that predates what we've talked about on this programme in the past, which is that during World War One, the three boroughs became one.
Yeah.
So prior to that, those decisions to rebuild or whatever were being taken either in Devonport or Stonehouse.
Because Devonport didn't exist in 1690, so that was kind of the new kid on the block anyway.
Yeah.
Stonehouse had been there for quite a while but relied on the services, and so you have the Naval Hospital and the Military Hospital, the Marine Barracks and then the Victualling Yard, and that really gave Stonehouse its lifeblood. But Plymouth hadn't, you know, at the beginning of the 19th century, it was slightly smaller than Devonport, even though Devonport had come from nowhere. But by the end of the 19th century, the population had grown sixfold, and it had become this massive thing that was expanding north. Devonport was expanding north. Stonehouse couldn't go anywhere because it bumped into Plymouth and Devonport on either side, so it was stuffed, really.
I'd love to come back in 2116 and see how many of our buildings now are still here.
It'd just be fantastic. Obviously, I've left out the Barbican, because Plymouth expanded beyond the Barbican in the 19th century. It didn't happen before that. It was still pretty much the footprint that Drake and the Pilgrims would have recognised in 1820, and they built what they called Newtown at the end of Coburg Street, where that massive building's going up at the moment. That was Newtown, and separated by green fields from the old bit.
Absolutely fascinating. Chris Robinson, as always, thank you so much. See you in a month.
Cheers, Tim.